I'm asking you to speak to hearts and speak to lives in such a way that it's revelation, it's change, it's life. That's what I'm asking this morning, God. And I know you're behind that in every way. You're going to back me up. You're going to come in and win the day. You're going to bring victory and resurrection. You're going to come in and change lives, change lifestyles this morning. You're not going to wait till the afternoon or the evening. You're going to do it this morning, Lord. We thank you, God, that we've been put in a position of worshiping you, because that's what we need to be in order to receive revelation, in order to change. We have to be in awe and in worship of you. Father, we're in awe of what you were doing in bodies this morning and over the past week, over the past month, over the past year. I thank you for all you're doing in my body, God, to strengthen me each day. I thank you, God, that you have lined up these bones again and astounded the doctors, even the new doctors that hear about it. They're like, no, that's a surgery. No, not with you. You can line anything up, Lord. When are we going to learn? When are we going to learn as your children? You can line it all up, Lord. It's much easier for you to line up bones than it is our lives, because we have some control there, don't we, Lord? We can say yes or we can say no. Oh, Father, today, this morning, I pray we would say yes. I pray we would say yes. We would say yes and amen to everything the Spirit teaches us to do today. To everything that's in your will, we say yes. To everything that's in your plan, we say yes. And God, teach us deeply, strongly, that this message won't last for just 3 minutes after we leave. But God, that you'll penetrate our hearts, that it'll last forever in our lives, Father. It's a message that's been formulating in my heart for years, God. You have made it strong in my heart for years, and yet today you want to bring a voice to it. Lord, I receive your message today. I'm ready to say yes. I'm ready to go forward in faith and trust you, God, more, and open my heart to you more, and repent more, and live more for you, and be a kingdom person more and more and more. And I pray that for your people. They're yours, God. They're not mine. They're yours. And I'm thankful, God, you want to change each and every one today by your Spirit, by your power, in Jesus' name. And all the people said,
amen.
That's just to show you we can be like church if we want to be.
Yeah.
We can do it. You know, I got a little warm in the back, so I was fanning myself with part of my message. You hear it? Pretty good. You know, and I'd like to fan you with these three cards right here. I'd like you to get some of this. I'd like you to get it up here and back there and all through this body of believers. I'd like you to just get some of this by Holy Spirit. Because on these three cards, you could have a fruitful life if you follow these three cards. Just three cards. Jesus doesn't make it complicated. He makes it simple enough for sheep. Bah, here we are. It's the theologians that make it complicated. So they can keep their jobs, I guess. So they can write their books. I don't have to write a book. I can just enjoy following Jesus. You don't have to write a book. You can just enjoy following Jesus. Just these three cards. Just these three. Jeez, I love it. And it, in many ways, it doesn't matter which order you put these three cards in. It's great. Because God can make it have the same effect. Here's the three cards. Honor. Sure heard a lot about that in the body of Christ in the last few years. probably forever, but alignment. We've been talking a lot about that in one way or another the last couple of months especially, and favor. So honor, alignment, and favor. I'm going to start out by putting them in this order. Honor, alignment, and favor. What do these three have to do with one another? Well, about 6:30 this morning, I had, 15 different examples in the Bible. Well, if I had 15 examples, you would be here 15 hours because I could preach probably an hour on each one of those examples. So I was asking God before I went to bed, which one do you want it to be? Because the more I thought about it, the more examples came forth. That's not hard for someone that preaches the Word. They can, more and more and more. You want to see all the connections throughout the Bible. But you also want to narrow it down. What's the one you want shared, Lord? I woke up at 6:30, and I don't make a habit of that. Some of you have to. Some of you wake up that early. I don't make a habit of getting up at 6:30. But I woke up, and I was like, that's it. That's the one. It was just heavy on my heart. It gave me joy to think about it. And so I just kind of, started ruminating. You know what that is. Kind of chewing the cud on it. Like a cow. It's got those four stomachs, or there's four, right? Yeah. Four stomachs. He just ruminates. He just chews and he chews and he chews. And I was chewing like a cow this morning on this example because it's all right there. Honor, alignment, and favor. If you don't honor the people you need to in the body of Christ, you don't end up being aligned. And if you're not aligned, you don't end up with the favor of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord. We see it all the time in the ministry. Anyone that's ever ministered to a person, you're trying to get them to honor God. You're trying to get them to honor someone that's a spiritual authority on the earth. You really are. Because how many people have you heard, "Well, the Lord told me." Okay. Have you run that by anybody? Have you searched the Word on it? Have you asked Holy Spirit? "The Lord told me." Well, then if the Lord told you, He wouldn't mind confirming it, would He? So who have you talked to? Who have you run this by? "Well, it's just me and the Lord. He told me to do this." A lot of times it has to do with guys and gals. I don't know something about that. "Oh yeah, it's this person. The Lord told me." Really? How did He do that? How did He show that person to you? Maybe He did, maybe He didn't. But are you willing to run that by other people who have been walking with the Lord for a while? Or do you just kind of say, "No, I'm keeping that for myself, everybody else out"? When it comes to relationships like that, we kind of like to take ownership of "the Lord told me." But if you're not willing to run it by others to see if they agree, if they see the Lord's finger upon that relationship, on that budding relationship. You might also want to run it by the other person at some point, or ask the Lord to. It would be even better. Just to see, possibly if they think the Lord is about that as well. So many people in the body of Christ keep that particular decision for themselves. And the more you keep it for yourself and you don't honor the Lord by coming to Him and saying, "Lord, I'm not going to tell anybody about this till I tell You. And I'm going to wait for You to answer me. I'm not going to give You all these suggestions. This is the person that looks the best to me. This is the one I want. Lord, what do You think?" "Oh, of course You agree with me. Thank You, Lord. Because it's my eyeballs that has to look at that person." But if we gave the Lord the opportunity, He might say, You know, you might look a little bit beyond the crust. You might want to get to know the person and not just look at the outside crust. Because you're going to have to live with that person when they're 75 and they don't have the guns anymore. You know, and they don't look like the magazine model anymore because they spent all morning working on that. Okay? You're still going to love them as much when they don't look that great with their crust. See, that's a different kind of love. That's a little deeper. I'm already in trouble. Okay. So, honoring the Lord and His representatives. You know where most people go wrong? I honor you, Lord. But when someone speaks in my ear from this earth, and they've been following Jesus longer, and I respect them in the Spirit and so on, but somehow, 30 years of walking with God faithfully doesn't change my heart or my mind when they give me something else to think about. Whoa, that's dangerous. I said, that's dangerous. Now, if they're off, God will show it in their life. I tell you, He will. And you won't have to listen to them. Honest. Because they may be lording over you. They'll show that if they are. They may be jealous of you. They don't want you to rise up. The Lord will show you that. But He doesn't just then leave you without anyone to honor. Every one of us should have someone that we run things by that's a spiritual authority in our lives. How many of you remember those prophets in the Old Testament? They'd always ask them, so what's going on, you know? Should we go to war? Should we not go to war? What do you think? What do you think? Come on, what do you hear from the Lord? Why didn't the king just go to God? He was anointed with oil by that prophet. Because God's way is to have someone to honor. Besides your own thoughts, your own abilities to hear the Spirit of God, and so on. People rebel against this so much. But it's one of the greatest blessings of life. This past week, as some of you know that I like to collect and give out Bible leaves. Old ones. Find them and put them in a frame and give them to people. Some of you have received that gift. And it's fun to do that. So I was thinking, you know, wow, there was this guy 30 years ago that helped raise me up in Christ. And I've tried to honor him over the years. But I found this Bible passage that he used to quote to me all the time and was a real solid part of my life with him. And he would just bring that passage up over and over again. 2 Timothy 2:2. Anyone know that one? I have some people memorizing right now. You do? Let's hear it, Troy. Okay. So many translations say faithful men. The things that you've heard from me, pass on to faithful men, they'll teach others. And that's what this guy did in my life. He taught me, I began to teach others, and he wanted that. And it's ended up, you know, in a ministry that I never envisioned at all. But just him building that in my life and giving me that vision. And I remember I was going to quit a job. I was at General Motors Fisher Body in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And I was supposed to be a teacher, but I was in the factory. Sometimes it's better to be in the factory than be a teacher. Because I learned so much about life. And it humbled me to find out I didn't have all the answers. I mean, I went through colleges, the majority of colleges, a Christian. I thought, man, I've been out on campus. I've shared Jesus with all kinds of people. I get in the factory. Their problems were too big for a 21, 22-year-old. because I was 22. 22-year-old. They were too big. They were too complicated for me. I was like, well, you know, Jesus? You're an alcoholic. Jesus? You know, you're going to lose your wife. Jesus? But I didn't know much beyond that to tell them. I hadn't had the experience of life. So the Lord allowed me to be in that atmosphere for about 3.5 years and learn from guys that had been ministering there for 10 years. They'd get up in the middle of this racket at lunchtime, all these machines, A through Y. I don't know why they never made it to Z, but the lines were A through Y, all these presses going up and down all the time, and even during lunchtime. It was so loud in there. I was used to having, you know, I was from college, so quiet conversations with people, you know. Go to the student union, hang out, quiet conversation, intelligent conversation with people. And here's these presses, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, I couldn't even, you know, ask them where to go in the place, let alone talk to anyone about Jesus. And here these guys are getting up on, you know, boxes at lunchtime, and they're screaming the gospel to a little group of guys that they called over, and they listened to them because they knew their life. And I was like in amazement. I kept my mouth shut for a while and learned from these guys. I honored them. I tried to let them know how I admired their way of ministering, and of course they, oh, no, no, you know. They would say, oh, it's no big deal, but it was a big deal to me because they were showing me by example. And so I tried to honor them, and I learned from them, and I began doing that. Not necessarily the preaching at lunchtime, but I would preach at breaks and share Jesus, and wore a Jesus button, and all kinds of people asked me questions. And, you know, I found a little different way to operate, but still the same kind of idea, and I listened to them. I'd be memorizing scripture, and guys would come up and go, what are you doing? That's the way they talk in the factory. What are you doing? Well, I'm memorizing scripture. What are you doing that for? That seems dumb. And I'm thinking, let's see, this guy's got to have overtime because he's got so many payments that he can't make. His wife is leaving him. You know, he's an alcoholic, and he's calling me dumb? But I got a little more compassion than that when I talked to him, of course. But to honor those guys in that factory, it was cool. Well, anyway, I got to, you know, a little bit tired of being at the factory after a while. Thought I'd learned enough of the lessons of the Lord, but I needed to ask him if, you know, have I learned enough here to move on to teaching now? And so I put a very specific prayer request before him. If I am moved to second shift by such and such a time in August, then I'll take it from you that I'm supposed to quit. And I'm going to say that you're going to give me a teaching job. I'll believe you're going to give me a teaching job. That was my specific request. Pretty specific. And I thought, well, you know, so specific. I mean, 2 weeks. How am I going to be moved on to second shift? I'd been on first shift, third shift, first shift, third shift, first shift, third shift. All but about 2 weeks of my 3.5 years there. It would be a real move of God to move me from my third shift position to second shift. In a factory of 3,000, 2,800, something like that. But I put that before the Lord. I thought, if he wants me to start moving towards teaching, I'm sure he'll move on my prayer request. I'd gone to a conference, and they said, hey, it's the Lord. Put a specific one out there. So I did. And within 2 weeks, it was less than 2 weeks, every Friday they came out with who was switching shifts in this factory. And a whole bunch of people were moved to first shift. And a whole bunch of people were moved to third shift. And only 6 people were moved to second shift. And I was one of them. My name was there. I read that list. I was like, I have to quit. I told God I would quit this job. I'm low man on the totem pole. I have the best benefits in the universe. General Motors. Back in the 70s. Maybe not now, I don't know. But back in the 70s, I had all, I was set. I could only go up. I was lowest guy. But I told the Lord I'd quit if he answered my specific prayer request. So I thought, well, I could decide this one on my own, or I could go to Roger. Roger would know what to do in this situation. So sure enough, I took a walk around the block with Roger. You know, he's in his 40s. I'm in my 20s. And I'm saying to Roger, what do you think, Roger? This is what I've done. And he's like, really? You know, the wisdom of the years. It's like, maybe not that specific. You know, maybe don't say you'll quit. Say you'll trust him for another job. You know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of things were going through Roger's mind. But I put that out there. The Lord had answered it. He listened to my whole story around the block, around the block, around the block. It's going to affect my family. It's going to affect my ministry. It's going to affect my job situation. It's going to affect a lot of things. And he listened patiently around the block, around the block, around the block. And you know what he said at the end of it? Not a lot. I was the one talking so much. You know, on and on and on. And he's like, listening very patiently. All he said was, well, it looks like God did his part. That's all he said. Left the rest to me to figure out. And so this means you should do your part and quit. Thanks, Roger. Really appreciate it. I don't even know how to quit in this place. It's so huge. I didn't even know where the office was where he went to, you know, he went forth to quit. I had to ask around. I was thinking about quitting. Really? Where do you go to quit? Why would you want to quit this job? Some people had been teachers for, you know, they wanted to be teachers, and they had gone into General Motors, and they'd been there 10 years. They couldn't quit. The money was too good. Their position was too good. They had too many payments. They were stuck. And they couldn't understand why I would want to quit such a nice job, especially when I was low and I could go up. I said, well, it was a prayer request. A what? A prayer request. And besides, I talked to Roger. Who's Roger? He's my spiritual dad. I honor him. Okay, well, you go quit up there in this office. You turn in your equipment and you quit. Okay. So I went out on a Monday morning before my shift started. Went into this office and said, you know, I need to quit. What, smoking? No. I need to quit this job. How do I go about doing that? You want to quit here? Yes. There's a line of people wanting to get into this factory, and you want to quit. Yes. Why do you want to quit? A prayer request. I want to go on and be a teacher. Oh, so you have a teaching job? No, I don't. Let me take your equipment. And so I quit. I walked out in the parking lot. I said, it's you and me, God. I don't know what I'm doing. This is crazy. I've got a family. And I'm quitting a very good job here. But I did pray, and Roger said, God did his part. What are you going to do? You said you'd quit. So I call Roger. I quit. Okay, we'll be praying. Within 2 weeks, I had a teaching job. I didn't even know how to go look for one anymore. I never went to a school. I went to my college and called a few numbers that was on this board. None of them looked right. They didn't look like the right position at all. But you see, I had honored. I'd come into alignment with what God wanted. He had done his part. I was trying to do mine in stepping forth. And guess what follows? Favor. So I was hired as an English teacher because I could write. The principal had a stack of applications of English majors and minors. I didn't have either. It was a prerequisite of the job to be an English major or an English minor. I was neither. But they had an application that was two parts, about 3 hours of writing. It was a private school. 3 hours of writing in two different sessions. And all I did was answer the questions and wrote. And they determined whether you were a good English person from that writing, not from your credentials. Good for me. So when I went in to talk with a guy, which was an interview at night, no one else in the school, just the principal and myself, I said, "Why in the world are you interested in me? I don't have an English major or minor." He said, "See that stack?" I said, "Yeah, the proverbial stack of applications. It was on his desk." He says, "Those are all English majors and minors. But they can't write." He said, "Look, I'll show you one." He gave me the personal file of one of them. And I, you know, began to read it carefully. Ooh, read the name. I know the guy. We had invited him to a Bible study in married housing. Read through and, okay, you know, I almost asked him for a red pencil or pen. It's like, boy, I wouldn't do that. I don't like that. But I said, "Oh, okay." I handed it back to him. I didn't make any comments or say, "Yeah, I see what you're talking about. Guy can't write. Give me the job." He said, "They're all like that. They're all like that." "All of them?" "All of them. But you can write." "Who knew?" I didn't know I could write that well. But this guy was impressed. I said, "Well, wait a minute. You said the blurb at the school, you need somebody with a military background. I haven't even sniffed to the military. You know, I haven't been anywhere near the National Guard. I tried to, you know, make sure that I had a high number during the Vietnam War." He said, "We can teach you that." "Okay, right? But you say you want somebody with coaching experience." "Yeah, we do." "Do you like to play basketball?" "Yeah, but I'm short and terrible." "I never met a foul I didn't love." You know, the tall guys just grab on them so they can't jump. Hold their arms down so they can't get the ball. I have five fouls. I use them all. He said, "Well, do you like to play? I didn't ask you if you played well. Do you like to play basketball?" "Yes, I do. It's fun." "How about baseball?" "Sure, but my fastball is like 48 miles an hour. And some of the balls go through my legs out in the field. You know, usually put me at shortstop. I don't understand that. Why can't a tall guy be at shortstop? But anyway. And with batting, it's been a long time since, you know, I really swung a bat." "That's okay. Do you like to play baseball?" "Sure. If there was a game out there today, I'd run out and try." "Okay, it's good enough." Faber hired me as the English teacher. The next morning, called me, said, "We've checked with the university. Your records look good. We'd like you to come and take the job." Gee, looked on the calendar. It was within the 2 weeks. You know, I mean, it all worked out. Faber, did I know? No. I just tried to honor, be in alignment, and guess what showed up? Faber. Faber. See, a lot of people want this. Faber. Faber. But they want to skip these two steps. Honor, commitment. come into alignment with God's plan, God's will, God's desires, make our desires His, and then the favor comes. I can prove it. I can prove it. That many people want to take the shortcut route. So, I said English, but I didn't have a degree in English. I liked English for myself, didn't particularly want to teach it. Why? Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade English, and a reading class, plus coach, and do the marching thing, and do the yearbook. I didn't want to correct all those papers. So while he had given me the tour of the school, he said, and this is where the social studies teacher is. Hey, I was Mr. History back then. History degree. That and a cup of coffee will get you a teaching job. That's about it. Unless you get a lot of education. But I wanted to teach history, and he had mentioned that the social studies teacher probably would be leaving in about a year. And I said, well, I'd be interested in that. Even though, you know, I'll do English for you, but I'd be interested in that social studies position if he ever left. I wasn't even hired yet. So guess what? Social studies teacher decided to quit. Just quit. It was like we were ready to start the school year. And now he tells them, favor, I didn't plan it, but the guy decided to quit. And the principal told me, he said, strangest thing, the social studies teacher decided to quit. I said, that's interesting. I'd be very interested in that position, as I told you on our tour before you hired me. He said, well, I don't know. I think we're going to have to keep status quo because I've got this guy coming in for his second interview. And I'm telling you, he's been all over Europe traveling. He's been, you know, a graduate assistant of a history prof. He has actually written an article that's been published, you know, in a kind of a history publication. Probably have to keep status quo because this guy's got everything we need for history. I said, well, you know, I will do the best job I can in English, but I'm just letting you know, I would love that social studies position. Okay, well, we'll keep it in mind. A couple of days go by, he interviews the guy. The first question he asks is, what do you think about teaching English? And the guy goes, I could do that. I'd love to teach English for a teaching position. I'd love it. He said, well, let's go meet the new social studies teacher, Mr. Goki. He's down in the English room preparing to teach students in English, but I think we're going to have you be the English teacher, and he's going to go down to social studies. Later in the year, the guy comes to me, the teacher, and he says, how did you do that? I know your qualifications. I know you don't know jack about history, really. I mean, you've not been a graduate assistant like me, haven't published an article, haven't traveled everywhere in the world. How did you do that? I said, just ask Father. Just ask God. If you want me to teach social studies, move on my behalf. I can't put myself in this social studies position, but you're already showing me favor. Why not some more, Lord? And God acted on that simple prayer because I had honored. I was in alignment. And he brought favor and double favor. I would have been happy as an English teacher, a little taxed, lots of papers to correct. And God knew that. I was ministering on a college campus at that time with Roger and his wife and other couples. And God knew I needed that extra time. So he gave me double favor. Now, Is that just me? Of course not. That's us. We've seen it in this body of believers over and over and over and over again that when they honor the Lord, they honor their spiritual leaders that they trust. They're not lording over them. Then they come into alignment with God's plan, God's vision, God's kingdom thinking, all those things that you hear every time we get together. They come into alignment with that. And it brings them favor and blessing. Now, does this mean you'll never have a trial? Oh, no. Of course you will. But you'll have favor in that trial. Wait a minute. Favor would be not having a trial. Oh, no. Not in Father God's way of thinking. Not all the time. Think of Joseph. That's not my example, by the way. But Joseph, he went through prison training time until he grew up in the faith to the point that God decided, okay, now's the time of favor because you honored me. You didn't go after that babe in Potiphar's house. You aligned up with me over those 13 years you were in prison. And now you're a man of approximately 30 years old, and it's time for favor to break loose. And when it broke loose, second in command of the land of Egypt, that's favor. Go from the prison to the palace and be the man in charge. Oh, by the way, here's my ring, Pharaoh says. You know how hard that was for Pharaoh to give up his ring? He didn't give that to anybody, but he gives it up to the favored one. Most of us, I think, want this, but there's a process. Honor brings alignment, brings favor. Oh, by the way, favor can bring honor to you. And people line up with God's best for them. Isn't that true? Think of Joseph. So many lined up with God's best after Joseph was favored, after he was honored. They came into alignment with the Lord. That can happen with you. That's ministry. Oh, I'd like to be someone in ministry. Would you? You need to honor someone else. Learn from them. Be willing to be second or 25th or 908th on the list first. Then come into alignment with God's plan for your life. What He decides to do as far as your life is concerned. Oh, but God won't let me minister until I'm like, you know, really old, like 40. It might happen. But more often than not, you're ministering along the way, and He increases your position. You don't go after position to increase your standing in ministry. Let God give you the positions, just like He did with, Joseph, Daniel. You know, think about it. He gave them their positions. Paul thought he had the ultimate positions, the ultimate training and everything. He hadn't even started yet on God's positioning. And he started out very low. Went through about, 14 years of training. You think, well, Paul got started right away. Yes and no. Started right away in ministering, but not at position level. He was raised up to position level. And he had someone over him at the start, Barnabas. And then they switched places. And Paul took over the higher position. That sometimes happens. If you're trusting God's plan and you're in alignment, that's okay. You take a secondary role when you had the primary role. Think of Jonathan. He was the king's son, next in line, was their thinking. In fact, Saul at one point chastised Jonathan. What the world you doing? You're in line for... When I'm bumped off, you're in line. Why are you favoring this guy that I'm trying to put a spear through his head? And Jonathan didn't stop. Saul was his father, his king, and in many ways, his spiritual authority. But Jonathan saw the lording over and said, that's not God's best. My own father is not in alignment. I'll respect him. I'll honor him as much as I possibly can. But he is not in alignment with God's plan. So in order for me to get favor, in this case, I have to honor God's wishes above my father's. But you can be sure there were tears and grief and weeping on Jonathan's part because he wanted so much to honor his father, and he showed it in every way. But his father would not be honored because he wouldn't come into alignment. That's a tough situation, and it helps if you have someone that you can ask about those kinds of situations because they come up in the body of Christ. Unfortunately, there are some control people out there that want to control your life, and they don't care about the ultimate kingdom alignment. And so they try to lord over you, keep you down. They won't let you rise in the spirit. But over time, you can see that in their life, and you may have to step away, step out from under them. But you should be getting some good spiritual counsel about doing that, not just, well, I don't like it. I don't think he's right, so I'm leaving. Well, we've got that all over the body of Christ. That's not hard to do. But to do it with honor and alignment, that is, you know, something special when you see that. Because they're honoring the person that they see is really not in alignment with God. And Jonathan did that with his father. And so did David. Remember the times that David had an opportunity to do Saul in. He had the sword right over his head, or spear. He never did him in. Why? He said he was the Lord's anointed, even though the guy was demonized. My king is demonized, Lord. Can I do him in, please? He's throwing spears at me and chasing me around the country. Don't you think it's time now? I'm a warrior. You've anointed me. Samuel has given his blessing over my life. Don't you think I can get... He never even asked. David never asked. That's honor. He didn't have to come, you know, be brought into alignment. He was in alignment because he had God's heart. He had father's heart for Saul, a guy trying to do him in. Every time he started to, you know, play the guitar, probably wasn't, but play the guitar for Saul to quiet the spirits, it says Saul's hanging onto the spear. Talk about difficult times of worship. We got the worship team up here this morning, and, you know, 14 people have spears. I bet the worship team would go down to a very small group pretty soon. And while he's trying to play, he's got to duck. Duck and run. And even though Jonathan honored David so much, David had to talk him into going to Saul to see if it wasn't true that his father was trying to kill him, because Jonathan wanted alignment so much between Saul, David, and himself. Remember, he covenanted with David. He wanted Saul, his father, to join that covenant. But you know what happened to Saul? Saul has killed his thousands. David killed his 10,000s. Jealousy. Guess what will take you out of alignment very quick? Jealousy. If we're jealous of one another in the body of Christ, somebody's going to be out of alignment. That Bill and Mary Pat. You know what? He gets his coffee delivered to him on Sunday morning. And a donut. Nobody gets that glazed donut like Pastor Bill. Or worse. You know, there's as much favor as you want. How much do you want these things? Honor and alignment. Why do you think those people are giving me coffee and donuts? Honor, and they hope alignment so that they can get favor. Well, maybe they're not even thinking of favor. I trust them that much. Just like Jonathan. He wasn't worried about favor. He knew that would come. He was concerned about these two things, honor and alignment. He didn't worry about the favor. Neither did David, really. He was always concerned about honor and alignment. Honor and alignment. And the favor just flowed. Did they have trials? Yeah. Spears being thrown at you and run around the country. So you say, it's better with the Philistines. And he went and lived with them for a while. And the Philistines, why wouldn't they just kill him? He had so much favor on his life, they were like, what do we do with this guy? He says he's for us now, and if that favor flows on us, we're going to be able to defeat the Israelites. We better not kill him, because the favor might be worth something. Are you aware before David went up against Goliath that Saul was looking for someone to kind of soothe, you know, he got some advice. Why don't you get somebody to soothe that savage beast inside of you? Because the favor was taken off of him, guess what flowed in? The enemy. And, you know, the guys at court, they're thinking, we better get somebody to play something for this guy. He's a spear thrower. I know he is. We got to get somebody to play for him. And you know what? There was one guy there at court, doesn't give his name, and says, the guy says, I know somebody. Really? Who? Who could play for the king to get rid of the spirit? Well, I know this musician guy, and he's also a warrior dude. This is before Goliath. Before Goliath, this guy saw David as a warrior. And, you know, he ran off a few other qualifications. For this guy, when, you know, he showed up to go against Goliath, the king's like, oh my, we're going to send you out there? You're just a youth. You're ruddy. We don't send ruddy out there against the champion of the Philistines. But this guy, before David ever showed up on the scene for Goliath, saw warrior all over him. So don't tell me there isn't this prophetic thing going on. People can see things in the spirit about your life in the future. You better listen, because it's powerful. And so they said, well, who's he the son of? Jesse. Well, can you run over there and get that guy and bring him to court? Sure. David started playing for Saul before he ever signed up for Goliath. But to show you how demonized Saul was, he didn't really seem to recognize him when he showed up to fight Goliath. It's like, whose son is this? And kind of his chief of staff says, I don't know. Who's your dad? Jesse didn't even ring a bell with Saul. Something strange going on there. Maybe if if Saul had remembered, he would have said, "Hey, wait a minute, I know this guy. He plays guitar for me. What good's he going to be on the battlefield?" It might have been the crucial thing not to send David to the battlefield. So the Lord just, by favor, wipes that out of Saul's memory. It was pretty easy. The guy had a demon anyway. Just wiped it off his memory. Didn't even recognize David, apparently. Didn't even say, "Oh, you're the guy that plays the harp for me." None of that. It was like he was a new guy under a new inspection by the king. And you know what convinced Saul? "I'm a warrior, but you've got more guts than me to go up against Goliath." So, see, when the song came, "Saul has killed his 1,000s, David's killed his 10,000s. That's why it got to Saul so much, because it showed him for the coward he really was in many ways. Now that he was king, now that he was demonized. It said he was afraid of David. Afraid of David. David, the most honorable, the one that came into alignment with God and took out Goliath. Excuse me, folks. 40 days they had their opportunity. Both armies come and line up on two different mountains with the valley in between, and Goliath goes into that valley 40 days. He got exercise just going down into the valley to yell up and say, "All right, bring him on. Who's the one that's going to go against me?" 40 days. Woo. A little bit of lack of faith in that army. So David comes in alignment with God's plan, having honored who? His father, Jesse. You know what he was doing at the time? His job, his official job. You think factory work's bad? Try taking care of sheep that everybody, wants to kill the sheep. Apparently, lions, bears, he's got to fight them all off. Training. A lousy job in many ways for such a honored person, because he had already been anointed to be king. You know, when I went to college, my parents had a trash pickup service, and I worked for them. Anything you could do with a truck, they did it. And I didn't like that job. Once I graduated from college, adios to that. I'm going to go find a teaching career. So the Lord puts me in factory work. A little lesson there for a young guy. But not David. He honored Jesse. He took care of the sheep after he was anointed king of Israel. Whoo! "Yeah, we just anointed you king of Israel here with Samuel today. Now go back out and take care of those sheep." Run along. I know it was kind of fun for you to be anointed king of Israel, but get back out there with the sheep. No rebellion in his heart. He honored his father Jesse. He honored Samuel. I'm going to Ghana. Sorry. Samuel. The prophet Samuel, when he was anointed, even though they called him Ruddy and the Runt, and all of that, he still came and got anointed and went back out with the sheep. He was in alignment and honored all these authorities in his life. Came before, he was sent by Jesse to go and deliver the goods to the brothers. He was a delivery boy. Ooh, went up a step. No longer take care of the sheep. You're a delivery boy to the army. And apparently, you know, he had put it in their hands. He wasn't coming in going, I know everything. I'll show you what to do here in this situation. He was just delivering the cheese to the main guy that had the supplies, then he went to visit his brothers. He was just hanging out with his brothers when they were saying, oh, there's Goliath. He's defying the armies of Israel again. There he is. And they all went, ugh. He's going, what is going on here? He wasn't trying to tell anybody what to do. He was offended by what he saw. These uncircumcised heathen are going against the armies of the living God? Where's the honor in that? He says to himself. Where is the alignment? See, it was so deep within him, he was offended that God's name was being dragged through the mud for 40 days. He couldn't stand it. It was just in him. There's got to be some kingdom alignment here. When you see Pastor Mary Pat preach, that's what's going on. When you see the passion, that's what's going on. You know, at home, she talks about kingdom alignment 24/7. You get a you get a long message on Sunday about alignment and kingdom and all that, and you go, whew, that's all they ever say in that place is presence, kingdom. You know, geez, I could give a message like that. Just go up there and go, presence, kingdom, presence, kingdom, presence, kingdom, presence, kingdom, kingdom, presence. But I get that message 24/7 at home. Even in her sleep, she sometimes is speaking things. I'm not complaining. It keeps me aligned. Keeps me on track. Because she honors the Lord. And she wants alignment, not just for herself, but for everybody. To be in the kingdom, because she knows what's coming after that for everyone that does. Favor. And when do you need favor the most? In the deepest trial. Oh, you mean I have to have trials if I have favor? Wait a minute. There's something worse. Not having favor when you have trials. Oh, that's a bummer. Because in all the stuff that the enemy wants to throw at you, he can do it. There's no favor to bump up against. And so he just has the attack mode coming your direction. Depression. Self-concept goes down to zilch. You don't believe God. You don't trust God. You know, it gets in there. Because he doesn't bump up against favor. Where was I? What? Cheese. So he delivers the cheese. Then he starts speaking out. This isn't right. There's an honor going on here. There's an alignment going on here. How can there be favor in the end? The name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. And they're all going, let's take him to the king. This guy, I don't know what he's talking about. We got spears here. Swords, armor. What's he talking about? Name of the Lord. Send him to the king. So he comes before the king and he gives the same thing, you know. It's like, what's going on here? Name of the Lord. King is, Saul is like, hey, I remember something about that back there before the demon, before I was taken out of being king of Israel by Samuel because, what did I, I disobeyed big time and thought it was obeying. I was deceived. Now I'm afraid. Now I can't even face up to Goliath myself. Because even in the song they say Saul goes up against thousands. I can't even go up against one. And he's a big target. He's huge. You can't miss him. Swing a sword, you're going to hit something. See, it's kind of like LeBron James when he's playing basketball and he's on a roll. The basket, sometimes they'll say, looks like an ocean. He can just throw it and it goes in. He can just do one of those weird shots and it'll go in. All the shots I tried as a kid and they didn't go in, his go in. Because the basket seems like an ocean. That's the way David thought of Goliath. He's so big, I can't miss him with God's help. There's going to be no way this guy can't go down. What are we waiting for? Why is it taking 40 days? He's huge. You can't miss him. Where the people in the army of Israel were saying, he's so big, I'm so afraid. They didn't think of him as a big target. You can't miss. That's what honor and alignment brings you to. The way God looks at things. The way God sees things. Think about God creating Goliath. I think I'll make him so big they couldn't miss him. They could throw anything out there and they couldn't miss him. David saw that. But the army didn't. So he goes before Saul, who's trying to kind of remember what it was like to be really anointed without the demon kind of thing and everything else going on in his heart. And he's like, well, son, go ahead. Get some armor for him. He missed the point. Saul missed the point. He didn't need the armor. He was going with the name of the Lord, just like he said. The armor was just going to hold him back. He had so much armor on in the spirit, there's no way that Goliath could have ever touched him. But he was the only one that knew it. So Saul had enough to say, well, he needs somebody to go against him. I guess all is lost because it's a youth. And he's ruddy. But better than nothing. I'll put some armor on him and see what happens. He sure talks big. No one else has, and I certainly haven't had any volunteers come through my tent door. So David tried on the armor. What was he doing? I'll honor. Even Saul. He wouldn't have gone out in the battlefield unless he'd received permission from Saul. You know that, right? Because he was such an honoring young guy. So Saul, who's demonized, he's trusting God to bring enough wisdom for an instant to say, oh, I'll go ahead. Rather than go against Saul and say, I know what I'm doing. I feel the anointing. I've been anointed as king of Israel. God is not going to let me die. I mean, he felt like he had so much. He had layers of armor, and then this guy tries to put physical armor on him. Everything, that was just too weighty, too much. So they get rid of that plan, right? I can't move in this. And Saul's going, oh my gosh. Better to move so you can run. Okay, go ahead, take it off of him. If he needs to run, we want him to run. If he gets scared while he's out there, we certainly want him to run because he hasn't lost until he's dead. Take that armor off of him. We want him to at least be able to run. So imagine this, the two armies on the side, the army of the Lord God, the living God, is watching this youth go out there who's not in the military. They don't know he's been anointed king, more than likely. Or they might have had something to say about that. Wait, we're letting a king go out there? I'll go. I'll go if the king has to go out there. They may have drawn up some courage if they'd known he was going to be king. That just seems shameful. They wouldn't let Saul go out there. So they didn't know. So they're watching this kid go out there. And what's the first thing he does? Goes to the brook. Picks up 5 stones. You can see him up there going, what's he doing? He's picking up stones. Where's his spear? Where's his shield? He's picking up stones.
Stones?
Stones.
Stones?
Stones. What? Why is he picking up stones? I think those shepherds, they use stones in a sling. Oh my golly, he's going to use a sling against Goliath. And they're like signing their death certificates and their wills, you know, they're up there. While they're watching David. So he walks out there confidently. You know, and of course he has a conversation with Goliath first. I'm going to feed you to the birds. Now that works on everybody except the guy that thinks you're the largest target on earth. Same thing they tried to do to Nehemiah when he was building the wall. Hey, we're going to tell the king that you're building this so that you can go up against the king. We're going to tell him. We're telling him. Come here. Come talk. We're telling him. Come here and talk to us. Nehemiah was relying on the favor that he already had with the king. The king gave him the supplies to build the wall. The king gave him the permission to build the wall back up. The king had already, he was trusting in that favor rather than go talk to these rumor mongers. He never did talk to them, really. Smart. You don't have to answer every question of the naysayers. Your favor will show them in the end. Your favor will show up and show people. And it's for the glory of God, not yours anyway. So you don't have to answer everybody's questions that disagrees with you. You don't have to fight every fight. You fight the fights that alignment says you should fight. And you leave the other ones go, because God's going to take care of it with his favor. Ask Holy Spirit, which one should I fight? Which one should I let favor take care of it and raise your name up? So, he goes out. He has a little discussion with you know, they trash talk each other. I don't know if you noticed that in the passage. First Samuel, you know, this is kind of 15 through 20. If you want to review that this week. They trash talk each other. David does some trash talking. Who else did some trash talking in the Old Testament? Elijah. He did some big time trash talking to some idol worshipers. And so did David. You know, when you have the boldness of the Lord, you can do some pretty doggone good trash talking. There was a guy one time that told me, you know what? You cannot say that Frontline Ministries International is going to last. It could be torn down at any moment. You don't know what's on the horizon. You don't know what's coming. Frontline Ministries International could be torn down and it could be nothing in just a few days. Pretty good trash talking. Kind of enjoyed it myself. But it was my turn. I said, it's not going to happen. Why not? Because it wasn't my idea. It was my idea. It could crash at any moment. You're right. It could be taken out in a second. Something could be said about me and people could believe it and bam, it's gone. But since it's God's idea, it doesn't rely on whether I'm part of it or not. So if I'm booted out, kicked out, disgraced, there are others that will take the vision forward. You can't say that, he said. Oh, yes, I can, and I just did. Was I trying to be mean, nasty, cruel? No, I was standing up for the name of the Lord because it wasn't my ministry. It's not Pastor Mary Pat's ministry. It was God's idea, God's ministry, and he will take it forward as long as there's faithful people to do that. And there are. I trained some of them. And they're going to take it forward. That's why last summer when we had malaria, oh, the outpouring of concern and love and so on, but no one came up to me and said, you know what, if you die, there goes Frontline Ministries International. No one told me that. It might have boosted me for a second. All I had to do was show up here a couple of times and see what people do to minister. And they know that if I was in glory, the glory would still be happening here. In fact, there are people that can't wait to get started on that. But I'm still in the way. And Pastor Mary Pat. So, swings his little, less than powerful, less than accurate, little stinging kind of little thing. And lo and behold, his honor, his alignment with spiritual authorities, government authorities, family authorities, brings out the favor right at the right time. Goliath had the surprise of his life. There's more ways to beat a man than with a sword, spear, and the shield bearer in front of you. Notice, God probably provided the birth of that shield bearer. I would say he was probably the stature of Zacchaeus. A little too short to lift the shield to stop the rock that took down Goliath. You see, when God's in control of everything, you can trust his favor. You're going to miss the shield bearer. He's too short in this case. Oops. Should have made him taller. Should have got one of Goliath's brothers to stand in front of Goliath. Because you're going to need a big shield to stop God's missile, to take you out when you are not honoring his name. You are not in alignment with his plan and his purpose. And you have disfavor, no favor, cursed favor. See, that's what makes it so sad about Saul. Because he had every opportunity to do the same thing, honor and alignment and favor, and he chose to do something different. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Saul missed something. It's all about keeping the commandments. I have kept the commandments. That's what he said to Samuel. But it wasn't true. You know why he missed it? Because he had fallen out of love with the Lord God. And he had fallen in love with his position, the honor he was receiving, his own spiritual thinking. He would have been one to say, I know God's plan. Just listen to me. I've done what you wanted, Samuel. It's not what I wanted, Saul. It's what God wanted. And you've not done it. And so you have been released from being king. Oh, let me repent. Too late. Too little, too late. You can repent, but you will not be king any longer. Then the demonic happened in his life. And he became jealous of God's anointed. He started off into all the negative, evil things rather than following God's ways. And so he chased after God's anointed when his own son was making a covenant with God's anointed. The family split. The country, the people split. And guess what? The Philistines came in and killed Saul, killed all the sons, including Jonathan. And, you know, David had to fight all of that back when he became king. All because a guy who had position could not honor. He wouldn't come into alignment. And he did not receive the favor then. So, my message boils down to this today. As this has come into alignment, it's not just a physical thing. That's been spoken to me. I didn't come up with that all on my own. This is more about what's happening in our body, in the body of Christ internationally. We need to follow God's plan. Some of you have been asked to go through some points of deliverance, and you've put it off. You've made excuses. I think Saul did somewhere along the line. We're not saying that you have such demonic activity that you can't, you know, do anything right. That's not the point. But you have some hurts in your life. The enemy has influenced you. And you've put off the deliverance. Oh, that's embarrassing. People might know that I had some problems. Guess what? Every one of us needs more of God's Spirit working inside of us. There's no shame in this place. Do we ever say, shame on you? You have problems? No. Some of you need to take a full step inside of inner healing. Take the full step inside of deliverance. Take the full step towards allowing healing in your life. Even physical healing. You're taking a couple little steps towards it, but it's like, oh, I don't want to be a problem. I'm always bringing this up. And blah, 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 blah. Have you seen the testimonies? This is a season of favor. You think this came in alignment? Because some doctor was wise? He knows he wasn't. He's recognizing the favor of the Lord. The last appointment on Wednesday, he said, you are a blessed man. Now, he didn't say it like this. You're a blessed man. You're a blessed man. Hi, you're a blessed man. He said, you are a blessed man. He took his time. He made a statement. And I receive it. I am a blessed man. I am a blessed man. I am a blessed man. Because what was out of alignment came into alignment. Josh was telling another doctor friend at his house, a new house, by the way, about this three fractures being in alignment. And the first, the guy didn't catch it, I don't think. He was like, oh, yeah. No. This is the break, you know. He's like, oh. Just in that was good enough for me. I am a blessed man. You see, this is supposed to be surgery, and it's not. Why? He brought it into alignment. That brings the favor. I can now step on the foot with a little bit of crutch still, but it's coming. Sure, a lot better than being in the tomb, needing resurrection. It has come alive. I can see my foot, wash my foot, step on my foot, see its progress, better than being in the tomb. It was in alignment in the tomb, but I'm saying now I'm stepping into favor. When the doctor says, you're a blessed man. Now, some of you say, well, man, you sure think a lot of yourself. Say that to David. If he thought a lot of himself, he was bold when he spoke to Goliath. Very bold. But when Saul was throwing spears at him, he didn't say anything to him. Who do you think you are? You're the old king. I'm the new wave, dude. What are you throwing a spear at the king of Israel for? Samuel anointed me in your place. Never came out of his mouth. Never. When Saul chased, he ran. He could have stood and David kills his 10,000, Saul his thousands. That's 10-1. He could have wiped him out. He was 10-1, a better warrior. But he held it back because of honor. Woo. If we can just say, Holy Spirit, produce that in me today. He held it back because of alignment. He thought, that would be trashing the name of God. To go up against the Lord's anointed, even though he could have said, but now I'm the new Lord's anointed. He's the old Lord's anointed. An old anointing was good enough for David to honor. And he stayed in alignment with God's best. Trusting God that God would put him on the throne when God wanted to. He wasn't going to force his way in with, oh, now I'm a real warrior. I took out Goliath. I've got songs being sung about me. I'm a popular guy. I could take over this country. Even the people on Saul's staff, they don't even like him. They're trying to get me to play the music. And by the way, he played the music after Goliath. Put himself in position to be thrown at, spears thrown at. I mean, wouldn't you kind of avoid the guy? So I'm saying today, if you want favor from the Lord, there's some steps. But you're able to do these steps. And they're fun. It's much more fun to honor than dishonor. To see the sparkle in a leader's eyes as they're honored is much better than to hear that they've heard the rumors behind their back. I'm telling you some secrets about this place. Our leadership has no fissures, no division. 2000, we set up a board because they said we had to set up a board. You have to be official. You're a 501c3. You need a board. Well, we looked around at our leaders and said, here they are. That's pretty easy. Pretty easy. And no one that wasn't on that original board, I don't think they went around saying, how come I wasn't on the board? How come I wasn't on the board? They recognized these leaders in their heart and so on. In fact, we had some that, don't ask me. I know you're going to ask me to be on the board. They kind of knew that they had honored, that they were in alignment with all that God was doing. They were, ooh, I know what you're going to do. They know favor. They've seen it. There's no fissures, no divisions. We say that from the front, and we don't have to lie. A lot of churches you go to, we're one big happy family. No, you're not. And that's not to put them down. We want unity to spread. That's all. And we know it's a problem in the body of Christ. In our individual bodies. In our worldwide body. But I'm telling you a secret. There's no fissures, no divisions among the leadership. They can call us into accountability, and we can call them into accountability. It's a two-way street. It's really cool. Because sometimes we make mistakes. Oh, who knew? And we can, if we admit it, things can be corrected along the way. Things can be improved along the way. We have no big financial problems to tell you about today. I would be the worst person to trust for the finances. I'm telling you. The worst person to trust for the finances to turn out okay. But because of favor. You know, in a recession, our finances are going like this. And we don't even pass the plate to you people. Where are you getting all this money? Why are you giving so much? Because God puts it on your heart. We don't have to have the, you know, guys in the with the tags and the plate, and they look at you like, that's it for this week? Shoot. It's fun to report that to you. Because, you know, when it's favor, you can't explain it. You can't say, well, because we have been so financially responsible, stewards of God's resources, we have good news for you. We're only in debt $400,000. You know. We don't have that. So we're just waiting for the next steps of favor. What will they look like? If our finances are going up in a time of recession and other ministries are going, wow, the bottom sure dropped out in the fall of 2008. I don't know what happened to the church. Well, you know, I know what happened. There's a recession, and when there's a recession, Christians don't give. Wrong. They gave during the persecution. Who cares about a recession? People's lives were being eaten up by lions, and they were giving. Sharing with one another. Giving pieces of land. Anything. It was because they loved Jesus. It didn't matter about the circumstances. That's all. That's favor. Let me tell you another secret. We don't know what we're doing. It's a great place to be. You know, I can just see David when that came out of his mouth. This uncircumcised Philistine? Boy, where'd that come from? That's a pretty good line. Woo! That even sounds like, you know, I've got guns. Can't you just picture, you know, this scrawny kid? Can't you just, I try to picture him as scrawny as possible. Just to make God's miracle that much bigger. That's why I always tell you, I'm the son of a garbage man. So much fun. See what he can do with the beginnings of our life. What he can do. Take us to the nations. It's fun. Favor's fun. Disfavor, not fun. Favor, fun. Another secret. I'm not jealous of anyone in this body. I'm happy for you. Since I've been seated right there for about 8 weeks or so, I've noticed that some people have stepped up in a number of different ways. Over those 2 months, worship. People are stepping up and stepping in, stepping out more than ever. It's a really cool thing to see the Lord raise people up. It's more fun than being jealous, by far. I hope people are so good at tuning into God during worship that I will have to be stretched farther and farther. That's what I want. Because I'm hoping that I go far in worship and will stretch any other person that's leading worship. Why not? That I receive revelation from God that makes you want more revelation from God. And that some of you will be teaching some of that revelation and we'll all benefit. Can't you see that's so much more fun? Favor is so much more fun than dipping into dishonor and misalignment and disfavor. That stuff stinks. It's so much more fun. And I think it comes out in the way we love one another, the way we care for one another. It's not plastic. Oh, I'll care for you because our church has that, you know, in its bylaws or on its bulletin. I love people. So I'm going to really try. Even though people, you know, they kind of stink. It's tough. It's really tough to love people. No, we just love people. And it came not from us. That would be too limited. It came from Jesus putting that inside of us. Putting it inside of you. That works so much better because it's a miracle then that we love. And we can thank God for that. We don't sit around going, well, you know, I'm a real lover of people. I let them walk all over my carpet at home and spill things and have Bible study in there for years. And, you know, we gave snacks and they, you know, stomped on them on our floor. And it's all because I love people. No, it was a privilege. Privilege to have that in our home for so many years where people came in. And I didn't know how they got there. Where'd they come from? How did the Lord direct them to this Bible study? At this house? It's not even that easy to find. Some people got lost on the way there. Had to be directed, you know, to get there. We had persecution in our own neighborhood because of a Bible study in our home. You're starting a church. The police showed up. Yeah. A couple different times. Once we were having a birthday party, and they thought we were having a Bible study. They showed it up at our door. We hear you're having a Bible study in this house. Well, have a piece of cake. We're having a party. A birthday party. Ooh. Somehow they thought that they would, like Goliath, make us fearful. But we knew the favor of the Lord was on our side. So they said, well, you're going to have to appeal because we think you're a church. I said, well, we have no sign. I pay the taxes on the property. We're not violating any kind of rules or regulations. We park off-site in a little parking lot that we set up. No one's parking on the street anymore to make a traffic problem. We're not trying to be a problem. We're not even trying to be loud. You know what I'm saying? So they had us appeal. You need to appeal. Barely got the appeal in. And it cost $250 to do the appeal. I paid it personally. And they came back and said, we have no case. We were just trying to scare you. Basically. Our lawyers have told us that we cannot move forward with this case. What if we had moved out of that house and closed that Bible study? Frontline Ministries in this area might be a whole different thing than it's become. You see, when you have a Goliath, whether it's the government or whether it's some other situation, you have to be bold in the favor of the Lord. But if you honor them, you know, we tried to honor them in every way we could. We wrote responses back to their responses, took phone calls, called them about the steps to appeal and everything else. When the police showed up, we gave them cake, or wanted to. They showed up at a drama practice one time when we were finishing up. And we were in the grass, on our front grass, and they came up and said, "We heard there was some noise here." Well, this is what we were doing. We were practicing drama because we're going to go overseas and do missions. We love Jesus, and we like to tell his name everywhere. Are you over with your practice? Yes. Okay, we won't trouble you anymore. And we tried to stay in alignment with what they had, their ways of appealing this whole thing. And in the end, the favor showed up. And benefit from that. So it helps, though, that we were asking other people in the body of Christ, "Hey, what would you do? What do you think's best?" And sought godly counsel. We just didn't try to do it all on our own. We ask other pastors. We ask, what was that group? ACLJ. What's it stand for? American Center for Legal Justice? Law and Justice. We talked to their representative, and they were going to fly out here if there was going to be a case, and they were willing to represent us. But we didn't need to have that. God's favor was there, and we got our money back, by the way, from the appeal. They sent the money back. So, do you need some favor today?
Yes, we do.
I said, do you need some favor today?
Yes!
Then honor. Come into alignment. When someone tells you, "Well, this is what I think is best for your life," and you know that they care about your life, they're not just trying to lord over you, but they really care about your life. How about listening? Do it. Whatever they tell you to do, take action on it. Rather than, "Well, I have this thought about it, and I've talked to the Lord." Well, you already said that, but I'm saying something a little different than that. Consider this and take that to Holy Spirit. Just say okay, you know. They're not trying to destroy your life. They're trying to help you. They're trying to come alongside you. Like a Jonathan, they're trying to bring about the best favor in your life possible. At their own expense many times. Sometimes, you know, we spend hours talking with a person and they could have saved themselves all that time by just saying yes to God in the first 5 minutes. Come on now. Do you know what that means? If it was 2 hours to talk to them and they finally said yes, and they could have said yes in the first 5 minutes, the issues were clear, the direction was clear, the alignment was clear, the honor was clear, all they had to do was say yes to God,
yes.
That gives us an hour and 55 minutes that we could have spent on someone else. Ouch. Ouch. Am I preaching at anyone in particular? No. I'm not even thinking of an example at the moment. I just know it's true. And when I gave Roger a hassle about my life a little bit too long, I took up his time. He still loved me. He still discipled me. He still helped me in my time of need. But I was taking him around the block 15 times, and the answer he could have given me in the first 5 minutes. I know that now. I was 22 years old then. I thought my issues were the issues of the world. Now I know at 57, my issues are not the issues of the world. His are. So don't waste people's time. Honor them. Honor their time. Now, don't take that to mean that we're too busy to talk to people and we don't want to talk to people for 2 hours. Sometimes we enjoy it. We have the answer in the first 5 minutes between the two parties. It's not just one-sided. But we kind of like talking through things, too. You know, it helps us. So don't take that, you know, law-wise. Take that spirit-wise. Tell me you'll do that.
All right.
Do you understand? Because it's coming from a father's heart, not a disciplinarian's heart. And a father's heart will take as much time as it takes. The boundaries don't exist for the Father's heart, despite the books that are out there. Popular books. You must have boundaries on your life. Take a look at the life of Jesus. His boundaries were pretty big. Why did he have to pray at night with his Father on the mountain? He kind of liked the atmosphere? No, because he was busy during the day. And it was okay with him. He wasn't complaining. Oh, these people, they make me pray at night. He really did love people. And he can help us love people. He can help us love each other in a body of believers that knows each other. Wow. How revolutionary. But unfortunately, it's becoming that way. If you've been part of a number of churches in the past, which I have, I like this one. Not because I'm in charge. Not because she's in charge. But because you and us can actually love one another. And we can accept you and you accept us in your love and appreciation and prayers and all of that. Man. It's great. It's fun to go into the doctor's office and not just represent me, but represent you and your faith and your prayers and represent the Lord all at the same time. And I talk tougher in the doctor's office than I ever have. You know, kind of trash talk, like, well, I think I will go to India. With a broken ankle, 3 fractures. I'm just feeling it. I think I'm supposed to go. I don't think I'll stay and let it, you know, kind of heal. I think I'll go over there and let it heal. I didn't come up with that boldness on my own. He gives it to you when you need it. When you honor, you're in alignment, he'll bring you that kind of favor that you'll be led by him. You'll know it's right. No red flags pop up. Let's go. That's the way it was with the people in the Bible. That's the way it is for those that are following Christ. And I see it in many of your lives. And I love seeing the favor. I just love it. I was thinking the other day, I have never sold a house through a realtor. It's just funny. They've never gotten a commission from me. That's funny. It started out with the first down payment I ever received. I received it. I didn't have it. People that were familiar with my honoring in the ministry, the guy I was being discipled by, and my alignment with the things of God, and I was doing worship at that time at conferences and different things, they became familiar with that. They went ahead and favored me. They gave me like $2,100, $2,200 to put on a down payment for a house that was reduced from $14,000 to $12,500. And I knew it was worth more than that. I thought, why are they reducing it? You know, God's favor. Sold it a year later for double. God's favor. Sold it without a realtor. God's favor. Went on to the next house, purchased that. Someone came along when I was ready to sell it and said, do you need a buyer for your house? Yes, but it needs some repairs. I'll help you repair it. And then I'll buy it from you. Okay, let me think about that for 4 seconds. You know, I mean, I didn't do that. I didn't even really ask for something that great. But it just continued. The next house was bought for tens of thousands of dollars less than it should have been bought at an auction. We lost it after 60 days because it was supposed to close and it was a new house, didn't close. We actually lost it and God gave it back to us. We actually bought the house twice. because of God's favor. He was not going to let it go. You know why? Because he knew what was going to happen in that house. He knows what's going to happen in your house. He knows how you're going to use it for his kingdom. He knows what's going to happen. And some people are getting some pretty cool house things going on, aren't they? Some really cool house things going on. You can't say it's just happenstance. Some things are happening in people's finances that are just amazing. We could spend a whole session on just hearing the testimonies of that. Are we saying we've got, oh, we know exactly what we're doing? Didn't I already say, I don't know what I'm doing? We don't know what we're doing. But it's sure fun to just follow the Spirit of God. Raise your hands if you'd like more favor in your life today.
Yes.
Raise them up just for me. Just for me. Humor me. Help me out. That's it. Keep them up. Don't take them down. I know Christians. They go up for 5 seconds and they're down. Now, you're really raising your hand to the Lord. And he knows that you've heard this message. So you know the way to favor goes through honor and alignment, and yet you're still raising your hand. That's faith. David needed such faith to do what he did, to go up against Goliath. And whatever Goliath you're facing today, your raised hand says, Lord, I know the end of it is going to be favor. I know Goliath will be taken out. I don't care whether it's debt, whether it's depression, or whether it's desperation. I know this Goliath will fall because of your favor at the end of honor and alignment, which I'm willing to do. Father, we say, bless all of these hands, Lord, in Jesus' name. I impart to them your process of favor, Lord, which comes through honor, alignment, and you can't wait as a good, generous father to bless your children. And it's for the kingdom's sake. This is not name it, claim it. This is for the kingdom's sake. We're not going to use this stuff just for ourselves. Our homes are yours, Lord. If you agree, say yes.
Yes.
Our finances are yours, Lord. If you agree, say yes.
Yes.
Our cars are for you, Lord. If you agree, say yes.
Yes.
Our lives are yours. If you agree, say yes.
Yes.
And we declare it and we decree it today, Lord. And we know that big talk, trash talk, comes from a heart that's convinced. David was convinced. We're convinced, Lord, and we're willing to say it. We declare it, we decree it today, and we say, Holy Spirit, back it up. We know you know how to back it up. We know you know how to take that Goliath down with one stone. You don't even have to use many resources on him, Lord. Do it with us. Do it for us, God. And then let us chop off his head that he doesn't come back. And we put it on display. We carry it around. And we say, you won't come back. We're going to remember this day. We're not going to forget it because we're carrying along the head. We're taking along the head. And now we're the head and not the tail. We claim that. We declare that. We decree that. Father, I pray that we would go beyond just declaring and decreeing to live it out. I pray that sincerely for each person here. And if there's confusion, if someone doesn't know what's been said today, I pray, God, that you would take them to the Word, the Holy Spirit, you would enlighten them, and Father, that we'd be willing and ready to give godly counsel and as you give us what you want them to have. More wisdom, more wisdom, more wisdom. God, and may they act on it. We give you all the praise. We thank you, God. We're happy today because you're happy. We're joyous today, as the first song led us into that, God, because you're joyous. You're not sitting there concerned. You're not sitting there with a troubled look on your face. You're happy. You're so happy, God. Thank you, Jesus, that we can be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord.